Hello, and welcome to Morning Prayer at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Edison, New Jersey. I thank God that we're able to be together to start this morning in prayer. Today is Friday, and this is the 19th week after Pentecost. As we are reaching the end of this long, slow reading of Mark's Gospel, I would be interested in hearing what you have learned or how you have grown closer to Jesus along the way. And what biblical book would you like to hear and meditate on as we continue journeying forward? Send me an email, give me a call. Thank you to those who have already answered this call. I'd love to hear from more of you. And now we begin our time of prayer in silence. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Give glory to God, our light and our life. O come, let us worship and praise. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before God's presence with thanksgiving and raise a loud shout to the Lord with psalms. For you, Lord, are a great God and a great ruler above all gods. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. In your hand are the caverns of the earth. The heights of the hills are also yours. The sea is yours, for you made it, and your hands have molded the dry land. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For the Lord is our God, and we are the people of God's pasture and the sheep of God's hand. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Give glory to God, our light and our life. O come, let us worship and praise. You have been born anew through the abiding word of God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 15th chapter, beginning this morning at verse 42. When evening had come, and since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate wondered if he were already dead, and summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he had been dead for some time. When he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the body to Joseph. Then Joseph bought a linen cloth, and taking down the body, wrapped it in the linen cloth, and laid it in a tomb that had been hewn out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where the body was laid. We probably do not give much thought about the line in our creed that tells us that Jesus died and was buried, just as we probably don't think too much about the eyewitnesses who can testify that they saw, let alone handled, Jesus' lifeless body. And yet, at certain times throughout history, there have been those who have cast doubt on the simple fact that Jesus died and his lifeless body was buried in a tomb. Some have said that Jesus only appeared to be dead for reasons of conspiracy to reasons of his divinity, there he could not die otherwise. Others have said that while Jesus did die, his lifeless body was most likely disposed of by the Romans. But what each of these strange hypotheses do is, in casting doubt on whether or not Jesus died or whether or not his body could be accounted for, is then they cast doubt on the witness of the resurrection. In order for Jesus to truly rise from the dead, he must most certainly needs to be dead. This might be true in other ways too. I am thinking of the disciples who followed Jesus during his life. We have noted along this journey that the disciples can only see part of who Jesus is and what Jesus is doing because they have their own competing visions of what the Messiah needs to do. In fact, these competing visions of the Messiah will completely bind the high priest, the chief priest, the scribes, the elders, the council, the people of Jerusalem. The cross ends that messianic hope, especially the messianic hopes of the disciples. The Messiah of their imagination dies on the cross and is buried in the tomb. The Messiah who emerges from the tomb, on the other hand, calls them back now into discipleship once again. But now Jesus makes sense in a way that he never really did before. I think the same is true for us as well. We really do not know what it means to be Israel's Messiah or the Son of God until we see Jesus as Jesus reveals himself in the fullness of his own story. That means our ongoing messianic imagination must also, in the end, be crucified with Christ, so that we can be raised again to be true disciples of Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. But before any of that happens to us, we must be like Joseph of Arimathea and Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph. We must bury Jesus and note where it is that the body has been laid. In the opening phrase of this gospel, we heard that this is the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. We thought maybe that the most important thing to know in that sentence was the meaning of Messiah and Son of God. But what the evangelist has been telling us all along is that Jesus is what defines Messiah and Son of God. He doesn't grow into these titles in a way that he has been ill-suited for, but instead these titles are seen to conform to the witness of who Jesus is. And if we still have any doubts that that will be the case, then we need to be ready to hear God's final word on the matter, because it will also come with some pretty clear instructions for those of us who need to hear this good news again and again, that it is Jesus who is Messiah, Son of God. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. Blessed are you, Lord, the God of Israel. You have come to your people and set them free. You have raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of your servant David. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. Through your holy prophets, you promised of old to save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us, to show mercy to our forebears and to remember your holy covenant. This was the oath you swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship you without fear, holy and righteous before you all the days of our life. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare the way, to give God's people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Mighty God of mercy, we thank you for the resurrection dawn, bringing the glory of our risen Lord who makes every day new. Especially we thank you for the sustaining goodness of your creation, for the new creation of Christ and all gifts of healing and forgiveness, for the communion of faith in your church and the gift of relationship with others. For what else are we truly thankful? Merciful God of might, renew this weary world. Heal the hurts of all of your children and bring about your peace for all in Christ Jesus, the living Lord. Especially we pray for the Church of Jesus Christ in every land and for the nations of the world, for those who govern them, for people suffering in countries ravaged by strife and warfare, for all who are working to bring about peace and international harmony, and for all who are striving to save the earth from carelessness and destruction. Almighty and everlasting God, you have brought us in safety to this new day. Preserve us with your mighty power so that we may not fall into sin nor be overcome in adversity. In all we do, direct us to the fulfilling of your purpose through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Go forth into the world to serve God with gladness. Be of good courage, hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, help the afflicted. Honor all people, love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God.